and the Bible speaks to your heart, and there's a verse that comes to you, and it's just sort of jumps off the page, so to speak, and so, wow, this is wonderful. Let me read this again. Let me think about this. Let me meditate on what God's saying. And then we pray a short prayer, and say, Lord, show me what I need to see out of this verse. And some wonderful things that we find. And a little song we used to sing with the children, wonderful things in the Bible I see, but the greatest is that Jesus loved me. And it is the greatest, isn't it, that Christ loved us. In 2 Chronicles, in chapter number 20, would you turn your Bibles there this evening just for a short time? And then I want to ask you to look in your Bible and share a chapter that has meant really something really wonderful in your life. And I'm sure you have some. 2 Chronicles in chapter number 20, very familiar chapter in the Bible. When we read the chapter, we find the miraculous power of God manifested. And it has something to do when we make a petition to the Lord. We learn things in the Bible, how other people made their petitions to God. It's always made on righteous principles. And we'll see that principle here in this chapter. We'll read most of the chapter. So let's begin reading, verse 1 in chapter number 20, if you will. Read with me there. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, with other besides Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazion Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Now, if you would, if you mark your Bibles, you all mark that verse there. Jehoshaphat feared and proclaimed a fast, saying, there cometh this great multitude had come against him. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou a God in heaven? Art not thou God in heaven and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel, here's the principle, was not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. There's another verse that we should indeed circle. Neither know I, know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And now as I read this verse, and I think about the verse, this verse, verse 12, many times have I thought about that verse. And when he said it, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Now notice something. He is asking God to judge righteous judgment. Think about that. You can read that. He's asking God to judge righteously. God will not judge otherwise. God judges righteously. And so, and his perspective here is, God see how they treat us. That's the perspective. And then he goes further, and the factor is, art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land, thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever, and they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein. Even when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, this is the righteous principle right here. Verse number 10. And now behold the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us. Righteous principle there, isn't it? Behold, I say, how they reward us. Verse in the book of Proverbs, if a man reward evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Now, that is that a messenger will be sent to his door. Be sure evil will not. God's word is always right. It's always true. And God holds these principles above his name. And these things will come to pass. Think about this. God sometimes people, God blesses people and blesses and continues to bless them that they might repent. God blesses people. The goodness of the Lord leadeth men to repentance. So sometimes God blesses people and gives them time to repent. Now, and then again, when Israel, before Israel went into Canaan, there was the iniquity of the Amorites wasn't full yet. That's what he told Israel. Now, the Amorites were in Canaan. They were one of the major tribes in Canaan. Actually, they were hillbillies, if you please. They were mountainous people. And so they had a place that would be hard to come up against in the mountains. You remember what Caleb said? He said, I want that mountain where the grapes on Eshcol grow, where the milk and honey flows. The Amorites were there. But he said this. He said he's 80 years old or 85, and he's saying, I'm as strong today as when Joshua and I fight out the land. I have strength. God's given me strength. Principle involved there. God had given him the faith to believe. God gives him a righteous principle, and God works on righteous principles from his word. Righteousness. God judges in righteousness. God warns us about judgment. He said, judge not that ye be judged. For with what manner of judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. It's a good principle for you and I, as every day. We're just people that if we went to, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 32, if we went about being kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even if God for Christ's sake had forgiven us, it'd be a good thing for us to sow a whole bunch of that, amen. Because what? The law of sowing and reaping. God said, be not deceived. I'm not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. He that soweth to the flesh of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And so these righteous principles are for that they're to bring us to bring our attention. God brings our attention to these things that we may learn of Him. Not learn about the Bible, but learn of Him. Learn more about Jesus, what I know. Amen. Just learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, be not dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Isn't that an awesome principle? The battle belongs to God if it's a righteous principle. You know, many times in the Psalms we find imprecatory prayers, and these prayers is, Lord, snuff them out. Excuse me, under grace. God is long-suffering towards us. As we look further, tomorrow you go down against them, and they come up at the cliff Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Israel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against him, for the Lord will be with you. The battle belongs to the Lord. And he said, I'm going with you wherever I'm telling you to go. I'm going with you. The Lord will be with you. And then go on a little bit. Let's go on a little bit further. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head, and with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, excuse me, worshiping the Lord. And Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children, this is what took place, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir. Everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth. None escaped. God wrought a great victory. It will tell us that as we read on. Time. I stop there, but I say to you, let God fight your battles. It doesn't matter, large or small, let God fight your battles. Amen? We cannot go forward within our own intellectual boundaries. Now, you may have an intellect. You may have an Einstein up here in your heart. You may have a heart bigger than anyone in the world. But I want to tell you something. God is the only one that can fight and win the victory for us. And it's won on righteous principles, the principles that God has set out in His Word. You'll find this throughout the Bible. It's a principle, a hermeneutical principle, they say in theological terms. Hermeneutics is the principles of interpretation. The principles of interpretation come from Genesis to the Revelation. If you find it in Genesis, you'll find, if you look in Hosea, the same principle to see be there. You look in Habakkuk, Haggai, it's still there. Same righteous principle. You get to the book of Revelation, the same righteous principles are there. That means everything in the Bible runs in a straight line. God don't miss it. I am the Lord. His Bible is the same. I change not. Day upon day, line upon line, precept upon precept, He's God. Amen. Hear what God has to say. We listen to the Lord, and God gives us these principles, and God will lead us as we face people in a world filled with darkness, sin, wicked people. As we face people, then God says a red flag comes up, and God says, watch this situation. You hear me? Righteous judgment is from God. And God will lead you, and He will win the battle for you. You need not fight. The battle belongs to Him. Just sing and praise Him for the victory that He's won. Amen? What a wonderful principle that is.